The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, welcome back. This is My Mate Bought a Toaster with me, Tom Price. This is the podcast where we open up the Amazon purchase histories of a huge variety of wonderful comics and actors and writers, and any human will do it, I'll be honest. We're pretty desperate right now. But that's not why we've got this guest on this week. I'm dead chuffed that Jess is going to be here. So please welcome the wonderful Jess Foster Q to My Mate Bought a Toaster. Hello, Jess. Hello, hi.
Hello. Thanks for having me. It's exciting.
It's very exciting. It's a pleasure to have you. I mean, I'm thrilled that we finally got around to doing it. I think our cancellation rate between you and me was one of the most protracted that I've ever had in this show.
Yeah, I'm so sorry, but I think we were as bad as one another, weren't we?
Oh, totally as bad as one another.
I might have sprinted to the finish when it came to the last few cancels. But we had a curse on it, basically. So this, people won't really understand as they're listening, but this sort of conversation is in some ways a miracle.
It really is. It feels miraculous. And we're not even in the same building right now, obviously, because of the thing that's going on. It's taken a pandemic to bring us together, Jess. Isn't that interesting? When the rest of our lives closed down, we finally found each other for this blissful romp through all the shit what you've bought on Amazon. So what we're going to do, I've logged in, Jess. And
I'm mainly worried, I think, about being less of a pervert and more just as a very dull woman.
Oh, come on. What are you saying, Jess? The 9th of October, 2002.
Oh, God.
The Oxford Handbook of Criminology. What do you mean dull, Jess? Dull? All human nature is in the Oxford Handbook of Criminology. May I say the third edition?
I was doing a law degree.
Okay. Right. Yeah. That would explain why the other thing you bought was the EU law, the third edition. Well, we don't bloody need that anymore, Jess. I'll bloody burn that outside Wetherspoons. Thank you.
Yeah. That was fucking boring, that course.
Oh, was it? But isn't all EU law quite new? Or is all law just relatively recent? Because in my head, initially, you think of law as hundreds of years old. But is it all just sort of new, detailed, dull?
Well, EU law was in 2002, which meant it was a very easy course. But it was very, like you say, it was just very kind of, it was all quite fresh. It was just so learning and such. It was like, please may consume a lot of facts.
Right, right.
It's never been like, but whereas there were other elements of that degree, including, in fact, the other book there.
Textbook on international law as well.
Oh, God. Oh, God. It was so hard, that degree. And the worst thing is I worked my tits off, built up about, I think, at one point, about 30 grand of student debt.
Christ.
Because I went to uni in London and had the full whack. I had like separated parents. I had the full mega loan. Oh. I'm still paying it. I still have student debt and I've never, ever used the degree. Wow. Anyway.
Well, you have now. It's in the podcast and this is part of your showbiz career.
Yeah.
So
yes, does that mean I can go back and claim those books as tax deductible now that we've done?
You 100% can. Now we've done 2 minutes of absolute comedy gold on those slightly boring books. So that is ancient history of Jess Foster Q there. So that's you doing your degree. Where were you doing your degree, please?
LSE, London School of Economics.
Okay, right. And was that you finishing in 2002, or was that just the beginning, the very beginning?
2004, I graduated. I was a year in. Yeah. Oh, this will have been the start of my second year, probably, that I was buying those things.
And why did you choose law?
So, because I naively thought that if I went and did something that I just loved, but was more academic than vocational, like maybe philosophy or history or the things I loved at A level in English, big sort of essay writing-y things I really was into. But I thought, well, if I do a degree in something like that, then I'll just float about. I won't know, I just won't get a proper job afterwards. So
Instead
I thought I'd do something, a vocational degree that applied the same skills. God, this is a really long and genuine answer.
I want genuine. It's good. It's good. I mean, I'm always interested.
So, but it was utterly pointless. So I then went and did this vocational degree. By the end of the first year, I thought, well, I know I don't want to do this.
Fuck.
All I've learned for definite in terms of long game is that there's no way I want to be a lawyer. But I hated the first year so much that I thought, well, I've put this work in, I might as well finish it. And then in the end, I did love my second and third year of it because I got to choose much more interesting courses like criminology and jurisprudence and right. basically more sort of philosophical sentencing and treatment of offenders. I did that stuff I'm still really interested in, sort of how the legal system works and what the sort of underlying theories are behind all of it. And, you know, what actually might really make people do less crimes, or what does make people do crimes, or whatever. All that stuff I'm really interested in.
Yeah.
And family law and medical law, that was all really interesting. But I knew by the end of my degree, I was like, well, if I was going to be any kind of lawyer, it would be a criminal and or criminal family barrister. And there is no, that it's the least well-paid area of law because it's the one that most people want to do. And because it's the one that most people want to do, it's the most competitive.
Right.
So I knew, I'd victed a few mini pupillages after my degree, but I was like, if I was going to succeed at this, it would have to be the only thing I wanted. I'd have to be hungry for it. And I wasn't. So I never pursued it at all. Beyond
so hang on. So I've just got this image now of you walking away from your law degree.
Yeah.
Like walking out of LSE and taking off your gown and your wig and your mortarboard and going, right, stand-up comedy then. I mean, that is...
No, not quite.
Right,
not
so what did you do then?
I'd always had jobs in bars and stuff, and I'd been working in this coffee shop wine bar at the end of my road in Broccoli called Moonbow Jake's. And then the boss there asked if I'd like to become a manager for 13 grand a year.
Oh, come on. Yes,
so
please.
Yes, please.
Wow.
And then, yeah, I did.
That is huge. And yet you've still got student debt even after that windfall? Fuck. Shit.
I mean, what can I say? I'm a shit saver. I love that, though. I mean, it wasn't a job I took very seriously. I had all my friends work there as well, and it was a very fun place to work. So I floated about for ages doing bits and bobs, and I ended up doing comedy properly quite a bit later, actually. Yeah. I started off writing things, and don't tell anyone,
go on,
but doing improvised comedy.
You did improv? So I didn't quite hear there, Jess. I think the line's gone a bit weird. Improvised comedy. Why is that bad? Why are people down on improvised comedy?
Have you watched any? Tom, have you watched any?
Ask me that question in the style of an L.A. Noir film. And imagine there's a nuclear bomb on the way.
There was a day where I came into the room.
Oh my God, she's amazing! She's just made it up off the top of her head!
Improvised comedy! Oh, my days. Horrible stuff. That's going to upset a lot of people.
Sure.
It's quite faddy at the moment, isn't it, to become an improviser.
Me involved in your mucky comedy wars. I love anything that's funny, Jess, as long as it's not pretending to be made up on the spot.
Ooh, I don't want to hear no more crying. Just come on, let me know what you've been buying.
So 2002. Yeah. You are buying these law books, right? Let's go back to your Amazon account. And then it goes, I would say, very dormant. 2003, nothing. 2004, nothing. 2005, nothing. 2006, nothing. So if we are sort of doing an archaeological dig through Jess Foster Q, she disappears. Those are the dark years for Amazon. And then suddenly she pops up again, and you can tell she's using her law degree well, because she buys Pirates of the Caribbean, Axis of Hope, in November 2006.
What's that?
By Tariq Ali.
What is it? A book?
It's a book, yeah. With Fidel Castro, Hugo Chavez, and Evo Morales. So I think Pirates of the Caribbean is actually, it's a book about Hugo Chavez.
About those big common leaders.
Yeah, so actually, okay, that's annoying. So I went for the gag of that being a bit, Pirates of the Caribbean, but actually it's quite an interesting non-fiction book about international politics.
I had a real desire. I did quite a lot of travelling after I finished uni in little fits and bursts. On my Todd, and I went to a few places where, and then I got it in my head that I was like, oh, I really want to go to every, I want to get the sort of all the different, as many communist stamps as I can in one passport,
right,
to see if I would be not allowed into America.
Just try
in your early 20s that you think would be a cool thing to achieve.
Yeah, up yours, George W. Bush.
Yeah.
It's also interesting to see here you got Chinese phrases for dummies in October 2006. So clearly winding your way towards some communist stamps there, right?
I mean, that was because I went to China, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Was it good?
Yeah, real good.
How long did you get to China for?
Terrifying. I went on the Trans-Siberian Express. So I went with a friend and we started in St. Petersburg and then Moscow. And then we went all across Russia and Mongolia and then got to Beijing, stayed there for about a week. And then we got Chinese trains all the way down to Hong Kong. But we only stopped in a few other places. It was incredible. It was really, really scary just in terms of communication.
Yes.
Like there was no, the amount you'd just have to, every time you wanted anything to get anywhere or to do anything, you'd have to basically that little guide that I bought off Amazon.
Chinese phrases for dummies for £2.26 is just like I'm going across the entire continent. I'm traveling through China. I'm in my 20s, but it's fine because I've got Chinese phrases for dummies, so I can ask if there's a toilet nearby. I mean, that's not going to help you at all, is it?
Epitome of some British arrogance there, isn't there?
Yeah. Too right. Yeah. All right, so that's you in 2006. Interesting, though. Interesting observation is that you did the law degree because you didn't want to be wishy-washy whimsy. You wanted to knuckle down and find it. And then you went massively wishy-washy whimsy and just sort of floated around.
I did absolutely fuck all with my life for a good decade.
Well, good. That's quite right, too. And then you started comedy. So you went from being a floater to...
an actual turd.
I'm glad you finished that sentence for me. All right. So then 2007, Northern Lights, His Dark Materials. Yeah, big fan.
Classics.
Yeah.
Just the most stunning books. Do you know what I remember with those? I remember that being because I've always been a bit of a nerd on the book fronts. Like I really like reading science fiction, and not loads of fantasy, but a bit of fantasy stuff. And all my girlier mates would always be like, nope. And then that trilogy came along, and everyone in my life at the time read it, and everyone loved it. I think it's one of the most universally brilliant, beautifully written. The way the world is drawn in is just extraordinary. He is genius, I think.
Have you read the new ones?
I haven't read the latest, but I read the first sort of prequel one, Book of Dust, and I haven't read Book of Dust 2 because I just assumed someone might get me it for Christmas and no one did.
Oh, that's awkward. That is awkward. So did you have?
I'm making a bloody note now because I'm going to buy that for myself. Yeah. That's got pandemic reading.
That exactly. Really happy Coronamus to Jess. Happy Coronamus. Lots of love, Jess.
Doctor Who.
Yeah. You bought a 5-inch face of Beau with an animated mouth.
That was probably for my then partner.
Yeah. Right. This is December 2007. So this is a gift, is it?
Yes, that would have been a gift.
Yeah, it's a detailed deluxe figure with movable mouth.
That will have been for the father of my child.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Massive sci-fi nerd.
Okay. So this is in 2007, long before the child came along. Right.
Long before the child came along, yeah.
Okay. But interestingly, the Doctor Who 5-inch face of Beau does look a little bit like a pickled fetus, I'll be honest. It's rank. It is.
The face of Beau is a disgusting character. Did you ever see it?
No.
It's like a stretched bit of skin with a little face in the middle of it, and it's all like stretched out on a canvas. It's fucking freaky.
All right, there. The face of Beau, worth noting, nothing to do with Alfie Beau.
No.
All right, so we've got Jess Foscue with us. You're floating around. Jess is a floater, and your Amazon is proving this. You bought a Scrabble Deluxe, August 2008. So you know how to live. You know how to have a good time. Are you a Scrabble holic?
Good time. Pardon?
Are you a Scrabble holic?
No, not a holic. No, a Scrabble for me is like associated with quite specific things. Oh God! Or maybe it was different then. These days. My girlfriend and also my ex wouldn't play it with me.
Right.
Scrabble. She's dyslexic, although she plays words with friends. Anyway.
Yeah, but come on, you can't make someone who's dyslexic do Scrabble. That's like someone who's got arthritis making them play Twister. It's not fair. It's not fair.
Come on, pop it. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I fucking hate Scrabble. I can't. My brain. I think I might be a bit dyslexic because my brain cannot do it. I cannot think of words from letters. I cannot create words out of letters. It just doesn't work for me. Oh,
really? So when I was a student, I'll be honest. So Scrabble was really like we played all the time, but we were. I'm still friends with the same group of extraordinary women, and there were plenty of blokes in there as well when we were students. And we were all quite clever, but we were all proper fuckheads. So we worked hard and played hard. We all got our degrees. We all did well in our degrees, but we had a messy life.
Oh, good. Oh, no, come on. I want more than that. Messy. So you had fun. It was drinking.
There were times that, yes, and sometimes other things. And so there were times where Scrabble was involved. You'd be playing Scrabble and it'd be like, should we get messed up? And Scrabble, my original association with Scrabble was like, it's just, I don't know, weird kind of quite clever, nerdy thing to be in the middle of such a sort of harebrained life for a few years. But these days, conversely, Scrabble is absolutely about gentle holidays with normally with family or perhaps with a few. I've got a few close mates who'll play Scrabble with me. And that's it. Like I wouldn't, it's not like part of my life really anymore. But as we're talking, I can see that very Scrabble Deluxe in the corner of my eye, in the corner of my lounge.
Go and pick it up after you've done this and just play some Scrabble. Get a friend. I mean, I'd say go around to someone's house, but obviously we know that's not possible. But it is. It's interesting because I totally associate Scrabble with the latter of those options that you gave me. They feel like gentle and close friends. They don't feel, it's not, for me, it's not part of a debauched lifestyle to, you know, take some gack and then go off to an all-night rave with your travel Scrabble. That's weird.
But that was kind of my early 20s.
Yeah. Interesting.
Please say no more. If you love me, really, baby, don't walk out that back door.
Oh, hello you. My name's Tom Price.
Hello, I'm Dave Cribb.
You should come and join us. Every day we do a podcast called Cabin Fever, where we talk to loads of comedians who've had to cancel everything else in their lives, so they come on our podcast instead, don't they, Dave?
Yeah, it's an isolation podcast.
Dave, were you yawning at the start of that sentence then? Was it just a little yawn?
Yeah, it's basically the Great Big Owl isolation podcast. We'll have people on from all our podcasts, from your Rule of Threes, your Brian and Rogers, your Musicals, your Bitchins. If you like any of our podcasts, if you like any of those people, chances are they'll be logging onto the Zoom call and just chatting, because let's face it, they got nothing else to do.
Also, there'll be a quiz on the bill. All right, see you soon. Lots of love.
Cabin FE83709. Oh, that's our Twitter name.
We like to listen to Toast, and we're not the kind who would boast, and even in spite of the host, we still like to listen to Toast. La 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 la.
All right, so we're jumping into the next decade now. We're into 2010, Jess. And the order numbers are picking up now, okay? So obviously it's been quiet. It's been quite bookish. Lots of Harry Potter. You've been buying lots of Harry Potter. And then you bought...
got a weird ripple of embarrassment there.
You shouldn't... I mean, what about Harry Potter? No way. Not acceptable. Well, that's nice. A brawn, wet and dry, rechargeable body and face epilator. That's lovely to see. I mean, do you want to take us through the £55 you spent on that? Was it worthwhile?
Oh, God. Have you ever had any of your body hair epilated?
What does epilating mean?
Do you know what an epilator is?
I have no idea. Yanking it out?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck off.
Vicious, mechanical, multi-hair yanker.
Oh, my God.
I did an experiment when I bought that where I let my armpit hair free and loose for whatever.
Right.
I can't remember how long. Grew it out, my armpit hair, right? And not in a sort of sexy, modern, feminist way.
Sure.
For this experiment. And I shaved one armpit and I epilated the other. Ooh. And the one I epilated, that it's quite a small area, a surface area, isn't it, an armpit?
Yeah.
It bled. I cried. It was one of the most painful things I have ever, ever, ever done for myself.
But what were you thinking? You're pulling your hair out.
I didn't know how painful it was going to be. And once again, a bit like the law degree, I thought, once I started, just get it done. And I just wanted to see how much more slowly it grew back on the epilated pit than on the shaved pit. And oh my days. Like, it the one I shaved within a week looked like a hippie in a headlock.
Yeah.
The other one's still utterly bald, complete baby's buttock of an armpit.
For how long?
Oh, like nearly a month.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So it's basically just sort of like waxing.
Wow.
Times two.
I mean, yeah.
So I still to this day have an epilator, but I for years, do you know what it was? I thought, right, spend 55 quid because go and get your legs waxed was so, it just on my income was so, it's such an extraordinary expense. I was like, who can afford to do that every 6 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever? Like, who can that? So I just thought, just do it to yourself. But I remember the hours and hours it would take. I would epilate one leg and then have to go and charge that again.
Oh.
So there were so many times where I went out with half hairy and a half bald leg.
Oh my God.
One bald leg, one hairy leg. It's just, the epilator had run out.
But the torture of it, it's like your torturer goes, when you charge it up, it's like your torturer goes off to have lunch and you just sort of have to sit there. Weeping. There's some interesting reviews here. Pattern cutter, 2 stars, didn't work for me. I bought this product as I used to wax my legs. I don't know why I've gone so deep there. It may well be a woman.
Yeah, right. It's a northern lady.
Could even be a woman. I used to wax my legs, but for a long time I've just been shaving them. This product works well in the water, which helps with the pain. Just the fact that there's a product that just has inbuilt, there's going to be a lot of pain with this lovely Braun product. My major issue was the first time I used it, my legs felt great. They were hair-free, and I really thought I could work with this product. Unfortunately for me, my hairs grew back in, growing, and were a nightmare to pull out. Undeterred, I used the product again, and the same thing happened. Oh. I used the item 4 times.
Oh,
God.
What is wrong with her?
Honestly. Four times before giving up, as my legs were constantly blotchy and red and sore.
Oh,
I have had the occasional ingrowing hair when I wax my legs, but nothing like this. I couldn't wear skirts for months and my legs looked red raw, like walking around on 2 pepperamis. All in all, the product works, but it didn't work for me. Oh, pattern cutter.
Oh, my God. Did she say like 2 pepperamis?
No, I may have done some writing for her there. I may have I just punched it up a bit, all right? Just punched it up a bit. God, I didn't even know what they were. That's fantastic. We've really learned something today. So epilator is a torture device for people who aren't rich enough to get their body waxed. Is that what you're saying? Okay.
It's a torture device designed by the patriarchy for especially economically oppressed women.
Okay, nice. Very, very good indeed. All right, good. And quite right too. It's a good way of making money. All right, so at this stage, 2010, Jess, have you started doing stand-up now? Has that begun?
Yeah, I had. I started in January 2008.
Okay, so we're a couple of years in, and quite a lot of...
I was too poor to get my legs waxed.
Yeah, of course. So you're torturing yourself psychologically by doing the stand-up comedy circuit, and you're also pulling all of your hairs and your body out and weeping. Fucking hell. March 2011, Tracy Beaker on the Nintendo DS.
That's for my sister, Hattie.
Very nice. Good.
Her birthday is at the end of April.
Uh-huh.
And that's 2011, so she'd have been like, real young. She was 16 when I was 16 when she was born.
Right, okay.
I've got loads of half my age, half siblings.
Okay.
She's a big reader, and so she would have been big into Tracy Beaker.
Nice. On the Nintendo, Tracy Beaker on the DS there. So you've got the blended family thing going on. Lots of birthdays to remember with that, right?
Lots of birthdays to remember, 28th of April, Hattie. And this April, she, on the 28th, will be 21.
Oh, yeah.
It's very exciting.
There's that time thing again, isn't it? It's terrifying.
In a minute, Tom, a fruit and veg delivery is going to arrive at my house. I've just seen the van outside.
You just jump off and do it then. That's fine.
Is that all right? I'm so excited.
Do you want to do it now? Do you want to go now?
Yeah, give me a second. I'll just have the door open. Then
I don't know.
Purple gloves.
Wonderful.
Give me a second.
Okay. I'm just going to keep looking through and find some good stuff.
He's only delivered one of my packets of butter, Tom.
Okay, you need to go back out after him. For God's sake, don't let him go without the butter.
He's gone. He's driven away.
Fuck that shit. Are you going to be okay?
I'm fine. Yeah. I was going to give one to my ex anyway.
Well, that's it. They've run out of butter. In that case, that's their butter crisis, not yours. I enjoyed your... Stay well! I love how we're all saying that to each other. Take care! Be okay!
Please don't die! Don't die!
Don't breathe!
Don't come too near me and don't die!
Okay, Jess, let's go into 2000... We're in 2011, actually. Worth dropping a quick... tipping our hats very quickly, if that's the right phrase, to Caitlin Moran, How to Be a Woman. For me, she is the best, one of the very best writers we've got, and she's my dream guest on this show. Isn't she brilliant?
She's totally brilliant. Yeah, she'd be my dream. What, she's on my dream list for Hoovering as well.
Yeah.
I loved that book, and I have to admit, before that book, I wasn't aware of her. I didn't read her like brilliant TV reviews and stuff like that, but
Right.
I thought it was extraordinary, and I think it's probably in the top 10 books I imagine it crops up on there quite a lot on Amazon, because in the top 10 books I've read and then bought for other people.
Yes,
it's
totally.
One of those books you read and go, right, these five people need this now. And also I've really enjoyed, so I bought it for my other half sister Amy, who's 16, maybe 17 now.
Yeah.
I bought it for her for Christmas.
Right.
I feel like I can buy it for every young woman I know as a sort of coming of age.
Yes.
Welcome to why we still need feminism.
And also every young man as well. Every young man. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, I read it.
True,
And I just became the most annoying, what has now become, I mean, it's 2011 I read it. Like you, I bought it then when it came out. And I really became that woke, irritating. But it really, woke is the word, I'm afraid. I'm so sorry that people have, it's been turned into an insult. But it was like I woke up and I was like, oh my God, fuck, I see this whole thing. It was like the Matrix had opened up to me. It was fascinating. And she's hilarious. I love her to bits. So yes, good. Well done for buying that. Very nice indeed. what else have we got here? Oh, a Joseph Compact Herb Chopper. That's 2011. Very nice there. We can't go wrong with a good herb chopper. So much easier than a knife, Jess, of course.
Nobody needs a herb chopper, but that was it's so weird that I'm having quite crystal clear memories of these. That was a birthday present for my cousin Dan, who gets really annoyed with me because I can't not introduce him to anyone ever in my whole life without introducing him with this full title, "This is my cousin Dan." because we've always been really close, we've hung out a lot, and I think there's this weird thing where it's like, well, I know a lot of Dans.
Yeah.
But also there's this thing of being like, we're not together, he's my cousin.
Cousin Dan. So don't even imply anything.
It's my cousin Dan. We're very, yeah.
And he's got a nice herb chopper. Obviously much better than a knife, clearly. But why can't you just use a knife? No, you're right. No one does need a herb chopper, do they?
No one's ever needed a herb chopper.
No, but it's a nice
That's gift. Why the sea and space are full of litter.
It's true. It's all herb. What you're saying, it's all herb choppers.
Yeah, cunts like me buying a herb chopper for someone. My mate bought
a toaster. We're going to leap on ahead now to 2015. So, Jess, where are you in 2015? Has the child arrived? This year, is that the year?
October 2015, the child arrives.
Oh, well, look at this. Look what she buys in January 2015. The Clear Blue Digital Ovulation Test Kit. So
funny. Yeah, I did. I used it was a stick that you piss on, and you get a smiley face when you're meant to bonk. And it worked.
All bonking famously begins with a smiley face.
It does. Well, you'd hope so. Yeah, or an angry one sometimes if there's been a fight.
Yeah, but you've still got to do it.
Making up. Yeah, got very lucky and got pregnant very quickly with using that smiley face test kit that I had no idea that I'd bought off Amazon.
Yeah,
that's funny.
There you go, on Amazon on the 16th of January, you spent £15.45, and at the end of that, you have a child by the end of this year. Look at
that's
that.
Funny.
All right, good. Let's see what else we can find as we wander around. April 2015, so this is when you are pregnant by this point, April 2015. The sports cycling fitness gym half finger weightlifting gloves.
No, right, yeah, cool.
So tell us about weightlifting in your life, please, Jess.
I'd lift weights for strength and just for fun.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I probably must have started maybe for about a year going with a friend who was really into it, who'd sort of taught me bits and bobs of what he knew about it. Not a professional by any means. But, you know, that's how I started to realise that, that I don't know, I just would never have felt welcome in the weight section of a gym.
Yes.
If I hadn't gone with a male friend who was like, I bet you're going to love this. And I had always, I'd had patches of going to the gym, but it would always be with a very sadistic, punitive, or I'd either be going like, so that I could feel like I deserved to eat or to strive for a body I was never going to get, essentially. Yeah. So I never enjoyed it. I would always be doing loads of cardio that I hated. And every now and again, like in that university halls year, I went to the gym every day because I had nothing else to do. I was lonely and sad. But I'd do a bit of weight, the machines it was obvious how to use. And always, even then, I'd be like, oh, this is fun compared to trying to run for 15 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this, I actually love this. But I just never felt welcome in that bit of the gym until around this time. And then I did eventually get so pregnant that I stopped enjoying it. But I've since picked it back up and I really love it. Yeah, I really, really love it. But I'm not a body builder. I don't eat anything special or not eat anything special.
No.
To get like rippled definition.
Right.
I do like increasing, like working towards lifting, increasing a heavy.
It's satisfying, right? Because you feel the muscle rebuilds, doesn't it? And then you get that feeling of, I couldn't do it 2 weeks ago. I couldn't have lifted this up.
No, totally. And I think so. I've sort of had my tour of a show interrupted, but I'm in the middle of touring a show called Hench, because actually I had some reconciling in my head to do, I think, about ideas of femininity and whether I should be there and why I was doing it and what the effects might be if it changed the way that my body looked and stuff like that. And just a lot of sort of revelations off the back of getting into weightlifting, basically, as a woman. So I don't know. Now I've made my peace with it. I think I've found my type of moving my body that makes me really happy in a sort of long-term way. Every other thing, I really love swimming outdoors as well, but that's not something you can pop and do every day if you live in southeast London.
You know who else loves that, who we discovered on the first episode of the new series of this show? Kerry Godleman. I didn't know about her, but Kerry Godleman also loves that.
Does she?
Yeah.
Swimming?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. So does Angela Barnes and so does Josie Long.
What is this female comics and outdoor swimming? Oh my God, if ever there was an isolation-based exercising outdoors TV show spin-off thing that should be commissioned, it's that, surely.
Yeah.
Fuck, that'd be good.
A load of women comedians getting in the sea. Get in the sea.
Get in the sea, yeah, exactly. I love this, though. That's really interesting, the idea of you at Halls, sad, doing the thing you sort of feel obliged to do. That feels like a very, I think a lot of people will... that resonates certainly with me when you're at uni and you're doing the thing you've sort of told yourself you have to do. You're doing something sensible and you're just a bit miserable and pissed off, and now here you are doing this, the weightlifting, having babies, but also discovering this, I mean, cynically speaking, for your career, you've written this fucking this show which has won awards. Hench has done so well, you must be so proud of it. It's a lovely moment to see it. It's great.
Thanks, mate.
It's well nice. Also, I'm talking of success, hopefully there's some failure here. May 2015, L Plates Magnetic.
That was for the father of my child. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He learned to drive and he passed his driving test the day our son was due.
Oh, wow.
First time, though.
That's impressive. And did he drive? Did he?
44 years old he was.
Oh, my God.
And he learned to drive in Southeast London and he passed first time. Very impressive.
That is
really.
Very impressive indeed. That's very impressive.
I would say he is one of the worst drivers I've ever been in a car with still to this day and refuses to put any sort of solo practice in.
Right,
so
right.
He might be one of those people that stays. I've got a feeling now he'll be one of those people who continues to be a diabolical driver.
Yeah, So he's the father of your child, not necessarily the driver of your child. That's probably the sensible way to look at it. And then we're going to go into 2018 now. Loads of stuff here. You've definitely become a mum. There's no doubt. God. Yeah, we've got the East Hong women's ankle leggings, running yoga pants next to the Tommy Tippy Simple Sangenic cassettes. Right. Penguin Junior single sleeping bag. All the parenting detritus, which is filling our oceans.
That Penguin sleeping bag's badass.
Oh, is it? That was only 30 quid. That's decent.
Yeah, like you basically look like a penguin in it if you're lying in that, and you get like a full penguin's head to go around your little head.
Amazing.
Your little child's head.
If there is no greater pleasure There is no greater pleasure.
As you will know, as a parent, if there is any way to make a child excited about going to bed, you take it.
Put the bed costume on. There you go. See? Hooray! We're all getting dressed up to go to bed. All right, then we're going into 2019 now. Let's look at the order numbers have gone up, unsurprisingly, with the kid there. 72 orders placed in 2019.
Whoa.
Yeah, we've got stuff. What have we got here?
Johnny Big Potatoes.
Yeah, more Catlin. Yeah, exactly. A Gorilla Super Glue.
Yeah, that's quite good, that, isn't it?
I never used it. I'll make a note of that. The Crane Bell Unisex's Suzu with Steel Band Mount Brass Bicycle Bell Gold.
Yeah, that's for my son's bicycle. Still haven't attached it.
Very nice. Very nice. Have you got him off the stabilisers yet? That's the next step.
We never did stabilisers. We've wasted our time, money and a full year on a really beautiful bike, which was a combined present from both grandparents. That's a balance bike.
Right.
What they're meant to do is learn to... It's got no pedals, so they're meant to sort of scuff along until they get so good and can glide along with their legs up. And it means that then you put the pedals on and they'll never fall over.
Genius.
My son has every single time... He's wanted to take it out. Every day wants to take it out. He gets out. He'll maybe do two scuffs along on it and go, "Why, what the pedals on?" And throw it to the side, and then you have to carry it around for the whole walk.
It's so magical.
Never ever learned to balance on it. So now I'm thinking he's so massive. He's an enormous 4-year-old.
Is he?
I think going to get... I'm just going to get the pedals put on it, get him a decent... He's got an all right helmet, just let him fall over and hurt himself again and again until he's learned. I don't think...
Yeah. I mean, that's basically that moment where you finally take your child out for them to learn how to ride a bike without stabilizers, you're basically taking your child out to get their ass whipped by gravity. That's essentially what's happening.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of pain, but, you know, you get through it. Oh, look, talking of pain, the Bontempi 32 four-note silver trumpet. Why would you buy that?
Okay, so...
Good, what have we found? Oh, yes. Oh, great. Lovely stuff.
I don't know whether I can say.
Oh, okay. Come on.
So it was a birthday present for my son. And it was a slight reactionary present to... I had a bit of a moment with my ex-mother-in-law.
Right.
Who is an amazing woman, if you're listening, Mary.
Yeah, but I'm sure Mary's a fan of My Mate Bought a Toaster, but yeah, okay, cool.
How should I put it? So my ex's family are a military family, and everything is done in a way that's very just so. And I had probably sort of peak just so type conversation with her shortly after... July last year, I took my son to Llama Tree Festival where I was doing a gig. I don't know if you've been there, but it's really lovely, and there's like a forest that you can walk through, like this hidden secret path. And I made lots of lovely videos of my kid sending to granny. And in this forest there's all these real instruments hanging up off the trees, and lots of bigger kids were huffing and puffing into these trumpets. And because my kid is such a tank, he somehow managed, unlike lots of much older kids, to get an okay tune out of this trumpet in this forest. And then he was all over the French horn, he's having a go on all these instruments. Yeah. And it's gross, it's full of kids' gob. Yeah. It's probably, that forest is probably where they'll find out the actual source of coronavirus. But basically, it was really impressive. And I got this amazing, just 5-second clip of him getting a really nice noise out of a trumpet dangling from a bit of string on a tree. I sent that to both, to all his grandparents, look at this. And my ex-mother-in-law replied saying, I cannot believe they were available to children. It's dangerous even for an adult to blow into a wind instrument like that because you can burst blood vessels and it can lead to capillary breakage and actually heart failure. And like this big long email about how dangerous it was for my son to have tooted into a trumpet.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, oh my God. Jesus. Like that was one where I do hope she's not listening. But that was one where I thought, oh, lighten up.
Yeah.
God.
Where'd you go from there then? You bought the trumpet.
Pathetic middle finger up to that attitude, I bought him a toy trumpet.
Now, do you send them a video of him trumpeting every day?
No, but she's been here and seen that.
So the point has been made. Yeah.
The point's been made.
I was in the house earlier on and I saw your trumpet. You might as well give him a rusty knife to play with. All right, listen, Jess, I've absolutely fucking loved this. Thank you so much for coming today.
Thanks for having me.
What I'm going to do now, right, just before we finish, I'm going to do a really quick speed run through some of your recent things, okay? So this isn't, we don't need big chats, we just need a couple of words on each thing, okay? Because we've learned so much about you, okay, Jess? Okay. We've seen you starting doing the wrong degree, we've seen you go floating around, we've seen you go off to China armed with nothing but a tiny £2 translation book, which was frankly fucking stupid, right? We've seen you try and kill your child with a trumpet, and now here we are in 2020. You've bought Last Week Tonight with John Oliver presents A Day in the Life of Marlon Bundo. Holy shit, I did not know this book existed, but I'm going to buy it.
It's a brilliant gay story for kids.
Amazing.
In reaction to some right-wing American politician brought out a similar book, and then John Oliver got this book to go totally viral and totally outsold it, which is the big gay version of it.
Oh, fucking great. It's almost like John Oliver's one of the best people in the world, isn't it? A spice mixture shimi to garashi.
This is back before all my work dried up. I would do things like buy a very expensive spice mix just so that I had every single exact thing that I needed for a specific recipe.
Oh, wow.
Even though I'm sure there would be loads of things I already had that I could have swapped in for that.
The luxury of choice. That's what you're going for here. We've got a weightlifting belt. There we are. More of your weightlifting stuff are there. Just Eat It, How Intuitive Eating Can Help You.
It's the most incredible book.
Is
it? It's amazing. It's about sort of the death of the diet industry and how if we all just listened to our hunger and our fullness, we could actually... And we accepted that we shouldn't all be on a mission to be thin, because there's a lot of us in bodies that aren't meant to be. But I think the only thing that's really stopping us from that is genuine sort of fear of happiness, actually.
That is fucking brilliant. Okay, we will tweet a link to that book because that looks glorious.
And
then finally, and this is brilliant because obviously the seam that's run through all of this is the pleasure and the happiness and the tantrums that having your wonderful child has brought into your life. Yeah. And the final thing you bought, which was delivered at the end of January 2020, was the Kindle Fire 7-inch display kids edition tablet. So finally you've realized that the only way to quieten your child was not to try and kill him with a trumpet, but to basically drug him with a tablet,
give him a screen. I bought that because I was booked to go and do my show Hench at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, which I've never been to before, never been to Australia before, and it's obviously been cancelled because of the horrific pandemic. But so I bought that because I thought I was spending 2 days on a plane on my own with my son. Yeah. And it turns out it's actually really handy for a pandemic anyway. Late buy.
I mean, I know they're saying that tablets don't cure the pandemic, but this one sort of does cure the pandemic.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, absolutely dreamy. Listen, Jess, what a brilliant guide to eating and parenting we've got over the last two objects on your Amazon purchase history. Jess, thank you so much. What can we can get you obviously on Hoovering, your fabulous podcast about eating.
Let's do that. Yeah, please check, have a look at my podcast or listen on my podcast. It's called Hoovering and it's all about eating.
Wonderful scenes. All right, Jess, thank you so much. Lots of love. And this has been... You're brilliant. Thank you so much. That was wonderful.
You're brilliant. Thank you, my love. What fun. Thank you loads.
Oh, I really enjoyed that. Thank you for listening as ever, guys. And thank you for all your kind comments, whether it's on Twitter or whether it's on your podcast platform. I really appreciate all the feedback. It's really nice when you're nice, which you are mostly. We only had one bad review. I've got to feel disappointed. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. I don't know whether I can tell you who's coming on next week because I haven't recorded it yet. And I'm really nervous about saying who it is in case I get it wrong, in case he cancels. So I'm not going to say who it is, but he's really great. He's a fantastic comic who is doing incredible things at the moment. So he's going to be coming on the show. And there's a couple of other guests who, again, I can't say, but they're really exciting. And if, like, I've got three lined up and if one of them comes off, and actually happens, I'm going to be so thrilled, and I think you're going to love it as well. This is My Mate Bought a Toaster. Thank you for listening, and give us a follow and a tweet at ToasterPod, and give us a review and all that stuff. Lots of love. Stay safe. See you soon. Bye.
GreatBigOwl.com. Can't face those Twitter notifications? Forgot to watch anything but Netflix? Dreading the video conference small talk at 9? You need a news vitamin, you know. You need the Smart 7. It's a brand new daily podcast that puts your brain into gear. Everything you need to know in less than 7 minutes. You need the smarts? Hey, we got the smarts. The Smart 7, every weekday at 7 a.m. Available right now on Spotify and all the usual places.